This is the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN. Once again, here's Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune.
Psych, it is Amanda Vinicky filling in for Mr. Pearson this cold, snowy Sunday morning. And I am joined now by Congressman Dan Lipinski, Democrat from Western Springs, representing the 3rd District. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Amanda, and I'm honored to be your first guest on the morning spin.
Well, thank you so much. So, you know, earlier I had mentioned that it is the now 30th day of the partial shutdown of the federal government, setting, of course, already having set a record. I want to know, have you negotiated at all with President Trump, or what is the status like in terms of trying to make any headway out in D.C. on this?
Well, it's just ridiculous that we're in this shutdown right now. I mean, for a president to just say, okay, I'm not going to sign any spending bill unless you give me exactly what I want, this should not be happening. But, you know, then the era of Donald Trump, there's been a lot of things that no one ever expected. Members of Congress are sort of just a little bewildered, you know, asking each other, you know, trying to figure out, you know, when does this ever end? It's two sides are dug in, and the sides are, led by, you know, President Trump on one side, Nancy Pelosi on the other. And we've been passing bills in the House to reopen the government right now, which is what we should do. But I'm not sure how this ends, and I keep looking for signs of hope. And I'll give a little bit different spin on what happened yesterday and say there's possibility of some hope from that.
Because Speaker Pelosi seemed to reject it really even before the full details were out on that, is what I had read. I obviously am not privy to what she knew and when, but yeah, what is your take? Is this a path forward?
First of all, this is not going to be a final deal, but if this actually, as a lot of people are not talking about the fact that the president said, Mitch McConnell said he will bring this to the Senate floor for a vote. Now, they've got to write this up actually in legislation very, very quickly, but there have been groups, both on the House and Senate side, bipartisan groups have been trying to come up with a compromise. I'm in the Problem Solvers Caucus in the House. We've been working on something. I think in the Senate, if there were, you know, a group of senators that who've been working on this already, if they actually got together and say, "Hey, a bill's coming to the floor of the Senate, we will try to get together, offer a bipartisan compromise, and on the Senate floor, it's open to, you know, it's open to any amendment." So if they actually got down to legislating, if the president actually got out of the picture, I think that's obviously a big problem that we've been having. He's so dug in. Maybe there is a solution that the Senate can find, but I'm not expecting that. But hey, you know, I gotta look for some sign of hope.
What have your interactions, or have you had any, with President Trump? You noted that he is very stuck on this idea. Of course, he did campaign on it and was elected on the promise of a wall. Have you had any conversations with him about that, or really in general? There are obviously a lot of members of Congress, 435 of you. So have you had interactions with him personally?
I've only met President Trump once, and that was at a social event at the White House. That was my only experience. I've not been invited to.
You're not negotiating
bipartisan meetings.
In the Oval Office.
Have not negotiated. No.
Were you going to add something there? Yeah, go ahead.
Here's something that a lot of people talk about, how it's impossible to negotiate with the president because he changes his mind from one day to the next, which is true. But here, I think this is even more emblematic of the problems of working with President Trump. Back in September of 2017, we're coming up to a possible government shutdown. The debt ceiling needed to be raised. And Democrats, Republicans were at odds over how long we were going to pass a bill to keep the government funded and raise the debt ceiling. So Republicans were saying at least 6 months. Democrats were saying we want it for 3 months. There's going to be a meeting at the White House with the Chuck and Nancy, and then Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan. I was told the story that the president's staff sat down with him, along with McConnell and Ryan's staff, uh-huh. and said, "Okay, we're going to have this meeting." And Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell are going to say, "We need at least a 6 month extension here." And then, and you're going to listen to them telling the president, "This is what you do." You listen to them, then Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are going to say, "No, no, we need 3 months. That's you know, as long as we should go." And so you're going to listen intently to all of them, and then you're just going to say, "You know, I'm with Paul and Mitch. You know, we need at least 6 months, and that's how this meeting is going to go." They got into the meeting. Everyone went through their spiel.
Their script, uh-huh.
And they get to President Trump, and he says, "I'm with Chuck and Nancy." And apparently Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell almost fell out of their seats.
Jaws dropped.
It was all planned. It was all set up. And so even if the president is with you and you think he's with you, you don't even know that. So that makes it pretty much impossible to negotiate with this presidency.
Well, difficult to predict, in fact, when this shutdown may end. I want to take a moment to look stateside with you some, in that I believe you have been one of the co-chairs of now governor, but at the time when you were appointed governor-elect, Pritzker's transition committees, and that is the one focusing on infrastructure. Can you tell me about your work there and what you think needs to happen infrastructure-wise in Illinois?
Well, you know, it's been a long time since we've had a capital bill in the state of Illinois, so you know, I was honored to be a co-chair of that committee and chairing the transportation portion of it. I'm very hopeful here. We need more work. Obviously, Chicago area, we have horrible congestion on our roads. Public transit also certainly needs an influx of funding for infrastructure. I'm optimistic that it's going to get done. We will have very soon. We'll have the report coming out of our committee. I'm very hopeful for that, and still hold out some hope that we can do a infrastructure bill on the federal level, although I think the longer the shutdown goes on, the less hopeful I am about that.
Another of the consequences that doesn't necessarily seem obvious off the bat, but then, of course, as you noted, that will become all the more clear down the road. Literal down the road. Before I let you go, wanted to get in. You had previously sponsored legislation that would implement a carbon tax. Is that something that you're planning to do again? Can you just real briefly explain why you believe that could be a solution to combating climate change?
Well, 10 years ago, right now there's all this talk about the Green New Deal that progressive Democrats have come out with. 10 years ago, I got together with two Republicans in the House, and we introduced a carbon fee bill that was fully, that all the money went back to people. So I'm actually a co-sponsor of a bill. We will be introducing it next week that it puts on a carbon fee. All that money then would go back and out to every American in the form of a check with the money that is raised in that. I'm working on my own bill that is more similar to the bill I did 10 years ago, which would cut the payroll tax as a way to get all the money back. But I think the way to approach climate change, we need to do something about it. I think a carbon fee is the right way to go. It is more of a free market way of getting it done. We have to pay for the carbon is a cost, an externality. We should actually make everyone pay for that and the damage that it's doing. It'll lower the amount of greenhouse gases that we are emitting, fight climate change. But all that money should not just, I think the best way to get people to go along is to say, look, you're going to get money back. This is not money that's going to go into the black hole of government. I'm hopeful that we can finally get moving on solutions to the climate change.
You heard it here first, folks. A carbon tax plan to be introduced next week. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Congressman Dan Lipinski.
Thank you, Amanda.
And we'll be back with more on the Sunday Spin. Good morning, Amanda Vinicky of WTTW-TV's Chicago Tonight, filling in this morning for Chicago Tribune's Rick Pearson on WGN Radio 720, The Sunday Spin. And I am joined by, with his brand spanking new title, Deputy Governor Christian Mitchell. Good morning.
Amanda, good morning, and good morning to your listeners. Happy to be here.
Now, a week ago or so, I would have been introducing you as State Representative Christian Mitchell. Let's just get that out in front. Why go from being an elected official to somebody who, you know, serves at the discretion of the governor?
Well, it's a difficult choice. I really loved being a legislator, Amanda, but I will say that, part of the reason why I got even involved at the Democratic Party level this cycle is because I believe in J.B. Pritzker, I believe in Juliana Stratton, and I believe that with them as governor and lieutenant governor, we've got a chance to really execute upon some of the things that I've always cared about when I was a state representative, making sure that we get more money to education funding, making sure that we are sort of restoring the confidence of the people of Illinois that that government is going to be on the side of working families, raising the minimum wage for teachers, figuring out how we can make Illinois a really, really great place to do business, to go to school. I felt like I could do more by helping Governor Pritzker implement his vision, and so that's why I decided to say yes. I think we've got a really great opportunity here to do it in a bipartisan fashion. We've already taken some actions that I think demonstrate where the governor wants to go, so I'm excited to do it, excited to help.
Now, this deputy governor isn't a constitutionally mandated title or office or anything. So explain to our listeners, what exactly does a deputy governor do? You're one of several. What is your job and what's in your portfolio?
So it's a high-level staff position that advises the governor. So we've got four deputy governors, all of them incredibly high-quality people. Dan Hines is doing work on budget and the economy. Sol Flores is over health and human services. Jesse Ruiz is covering education agencies. And then I'm doing transportation and some other strategic planning stuff, including public safety. So each of us will have sort of a suite of advisory responsibilities to the governor, but we'll also be overseeing a group of agencies. And one of the things that Governor Pritzker's talked about pretty consistently is we need to break down silos in government, have agency heads working together, make sure that we're working in teams, sure, sharing best practices across each agency to deliver the best possible services for the taxpayers of Illinois at the lowest possible price. And so part of our job is to drive that innovation, drive that change, but then also make sure that we're driving an agenda that helps people in Illinois understand that this is now a government that's going to function well and in a bipartisan fashion and be on the side of working families.
Observers, I think, could reasonably say it had better be a government that functions, given that Democrats are in charge of it. There's really no excuse to say, hey, the other party wouldn't allow it as X to pass, because it's all in Democrats' hands. You were part of the House, though, when there was a supermajority, and there wasn't action on a lot of seemingly priorities, or at least what Democratic leaders talked about, be it passing a permanent tax that would help be a resolution to some of Illinois' fiscal challenges, raising the minimum wage. Why now? How did Democrats keep it together? And do you have any hope that Democrats will be more successful in passing their agenda through this time around than they were previously?
Yeah, so let me give you two answers to this. So on the one hand, I think leadership matters. And I think that Governor Pritzker has demonstrated just in his first week the ways in which he is going to lead. So his first action getting in office was to sign executive orders, making sure that we're putting Illinois back on the side of working families, pay equity for women, referring more wage theft cases through the Department of Labor to the Attorney General's office. signed an executive order the other day, making sure that we are doing all we can to take care of our veterans. So he's putting his money where his mouth is, number one. Number two, I think that JB campaigned on a very bold agenda, and it was about, sort of equalizing our tax system so that the wealthy are not paying half as much as a share of their income compared to the middle class. It was about raising the minimum wage. And so when you have that sort of leadership coming from the governor's office, that can really drive action in the General Assembly. So that's part one. I think his leadership matters. The second thing I would say is that JB has been emphasizing bipartisanship on the campaign trail and since he's gotten into office. We had a fantastic inauguration event, and at that event were a ton of Republican legislators. He went to Republican events during inauguration week in Springfield. So yes, Democrats in theory could pass everything on their own based on votes, but I think that that's not the way J.B. Pritzker views government. He thinks it's a place where people ought to come together regardless of party or race or geography and ought to be part of the solution. We want good Republican ideas. We believe that Republicans ought to be part of the solution and that they have ideas that are worthy of merit. And so we want to do this in a bipartisan way, not just sort of try to ram things through.
You know, I got to say, Governor Bruce Rauner talked about bipartisanship as well. When he was first inaugurated, there were certainly Democrats who were quite enthused and hopeful about his administration. He says that a lot of the policies that he wanted to push through were supported by Democrats. That didn't mean it happened.
Yeah. Much respect to the outgoing governor for his service. Everyone deserves those sort of commendations for making the sacrifice. But I would just say that Governor Rauner didn't always have the best handle on the legislature because he didn't spend the time and invest in the relationships. And JB has been different already in that he's talked constantly to the Republican legislative leaders. He has already talked to and met with individual Republican legislators and will be doing that throughout his time. And JB really does listen to people, incorporate their feedback, and try to move forward. He doesn't believe that he's got all the best ideas. He believes that he's the leader and he's going to drive the team to do good work, but that the best ideas can also come from people across the aisle. I think that's a contrast in leadership to Bruce Rauner.
Thank you very much. That is Deputy Governor Christian Mitchell, newly with the Pritzker administration. This is WGN Radio 720. I'm Amanda Vinicky with the Sunday Spin.